Nomad Society, author John Moverick. The need for a nomad society. The emergence of nomad society impacts everybody. It's a product of the changes in a world driven by exponential, accelerating technological and social change, globalization, and a push for more creative and context-driven innovations. It presents us with new opportunities, challenges, and responsibilities. What is a nomad? A nomad is a person who is creative, imaginative, innovative, and can work with almost anybody, anytime, anywhere. Nomads can instantly reconfigure and recontextualize their work environments, and greater mobility is creating new opportunities. Nomads are characterized by 1. Building their personal knowledge through explicit information gathering and tactic experiences, and leverage their personal knowledge to produce new ideas. 2. The ability to contextually apply their ideas and expertise in various social and organizational configurations. 3. Motivation to collaborate. They are natural networkers, navigating new organizations, cultures, and societies. 4. Using new technologies purposefully to help them solve problems and transcend geographical limitations. 5. Openness to sharing what they know and inviting the support and opening access information, knowledge, and expertise from others. 6. The ability to learn as quickly as they learn, adopting new ideas and practices as necessary. 7. Thriving in non-hierarchical networks and organizations. 8. Developing habits of mind and practice to learn continuously. Rethinking human capital development in nomad society. We present a framework for conceptualizing changes in society, driven by the forces of globalization and expanding knowledge society and accelerating change. The framework is centered on 3 social paradigms, and we label Society 1.0, Society 2.0, and Society 3.0, expressed as Industrial Society, Knowledge Society, and Nomad Society. Society 1. Society 1 refers to the agricultural and industrial-based society that was present throughout the 18th century and through to the end of the 20th century. In the early portion of this period, economic activity was centered on family-based enterprises. Children learned and worked at home. Kids and adults were engaged cross-generationally, and not only were children valuable contributors to the economy at all levels, but adults and kids learned from each other. The paradigm facilitated learning by doing. Society 2. The appearance of Society 2 is associated with the emergence of knowledge society that materialized in the 20th century. To become meaningful, information needed to be interpreted, necessity to the creation of knowledge workers. However, the nurture of knowledge itself is personal and composed of tactic and explicit components. Explicit knowledge is easy to transfer from person to person and can be communicated, for example, through books. Tactic knowledge, like knowing how to play the violin, is difficult to transfer and is best developed by learning by doing. Society 3. For most of us, Society 3 is in the future, possibly in the distant future. But for the few people leading the change towards the proto-paradigm, it's very real. The 3 drivers are leading us to the formation of the 3 nomadic paradigm. 1. Accelerating technological and social change. 2. Continuing globalization and horizontalization of knowledge and relationships, de-hierarchalization. 3. Innovation society fueled by nomads. Predictably, the impacts of accelerating technological and social changes on education are enormous. Today's stakeholders in youth's futures must prepare kids for futures that none of us can even dream are possible. Continuing globalization is leading to a horizontalized diffusion of knowledge in domains that were previously siloed, creating hierarchical relationships and providing new opportunities for knowledge to be applied contextually in innovative applications. In this realm of teaching and learning, this means that we are becoming not only co-learners but also co-teachers, as we co-constructively produce new knowledge and new applications for our knowledge. Invisible learning. When we focus on how to learn, not what to learn, learning becomes invisible. In the nomadic route, just in case, memorization needs to be replaced with learning that is intended to be personally meaningful for all participants in the learning experience. Moreover, the application of personal knowledge towards innovative problem solving takes primacy over the regurgitation of prior information memorized or facts. Approaches that enable invisible learning also permit students to act in their knowledge, applying what they know to solve problems, including problems that have not been solved before. This contextual purposive application of personal knowledge to create innovative solutions negates the value of standardized testing, which does not promote imaginative exploration, creative thinking, or innovative actions. Using technologies purposefully. The invisible learning approach to technology is purpose, pragmatic, and centered in improving the human experiences at its core. Specifically, this means that it is well-defined, focused on developing mindware, that is, the focus is placed on how technologies can support our imaginations, creativity, and help us innovate. Social, such as leveraging social media tools for learning. Experimental, as in learning by doing. And continuously evolving. Democratic schools. In our journey to find alternative approaches to education, we were introduced to democratic education. And in particular, Sudbury Model Schools. Democratic schools were designed around the concept that children come into the world explicitly designed to educate themselves through their self-directed play and exploration. These schools recognized that kids are vibrant, energetic, interested, motivated, self-aware, and naturally inclined to learn, and that the learning does not need to be dictated by external actors. Sudbury Schools. Sudbury schools from a separate group of democratic schools are modeled after the Sudbury Valley School, which was founded in 1968 in Farmingham, Massachusetts. These schools practice a form of democratic education in which students were given complete responsibility over their education, which includes governance of the school. The entire school is designed in such a way that each student has a personal responsibility and can act autonomously. The school is run through a direct democratic process in a weekly school meeting in which students and staff members have an equal voice and an equal vote. There is a strong belief in the right of self-determination of students. Sudbury schools are therefore not working within a prescribed curriculum or schedule of classes, but work solely on the demands of students in their need to become acquainted with a certain subject. Furthermore, Sudbury schools do not perform evaluations, assessments, or recommendations of any kind. Students can choose to make use of some tests for self-evaluation, but they are never used as an external evaluation tool. In a Sudbury school, learning occurs most often in the invisible realm, as a non-formal, informal, and serendipitous learning. Formal learning only takes place on certain occasions, but this is very limited. For this age, mixing and freedom to determine what to do are essential. Organising ourselves in a nomad society. Self-organising environments satisfy the basic biological needs in which the brain responses are far better than hierarchical environments. The lack of hierarchy influences the sense of status in a positive way and does appreciation of different talents and passions. There is no more or less certainty as a traditional organisation, and no effort is put into pretending to be able to create it. When it comes to relatedness, the feeling of belonging to a group, self-organising environments, show potential for great cohesion. This has to do with the common values that bind people together within an organisation. Workers are usually very committed and very connected in these companies, and for the element of fairness, because all information is readily available, it's easy for people to check whether they got their fair share. If they did not, all they have to do is change it and explain why to their colleagues. What it takes. The nomad society has economically and socially profound implications. To prevent a further widening and deepening chasm between knowledge haves and have-nots, modern societies and governments must dramatically increase opportunities for the information and communications unskilled to enter the nomad society. A nomad society will require public policies of training in technology and computer skills, revamping a good deal of traditional public education, and a new influx of teachers competent in the knowledge and communication skills, rigorous insistence on students' performance by both schools and families, and a nation dedicated to a high level of international competitiveness.